complaint made to the City of Bloomington or Town of Normal about rental housing conditions is no guarantee of a fast fix. Find out what happens when two Bloomington tenants face a health hazard and the landlord takes nearly 2 weeks to get it fixed. That's in part two of the GLT series Landlord v. Tenant. Judy Valente also reports on what city inspectors can and cannot do to help.
On the morning of July 1st, Brad May and his roommate awaken to a situation no one relishes, a stopped-up toilet. The problem soon grows worse. Raw sewage starts oozing up through the toilet, tub, and bathroom sink in his apartment in Bloomington's Lakewood Terrace complex.
That toilet wasn't cooperating, just kept filling with water and overflowing until we had to shut the water off. You know, that just got worse, and we called the landlord within a half hour, and they explained to us because of the holiday weekend that it would be a couple days before they would be able to be out.
2 days later, the complex's property manager, RCS Property Management, sends a local plumber to estimate the cost for repair. The plumber staunches the flow of sewage and says he will return in 2 days to complete the work.
That came and went. They didn't call us or show up.
At this point, May says he began repeatedly calling the RCS management office.
At this point, we were calling daily and not so understanding anymore. Didn't really make a difference. We started talking to them about rent reimbursement of some sort to make up for half of our apartment being unusable and, you know, a pretty unsanitary situation. You know, every time we called, you know, the property manager was in court or otherwise occupied, and there was a whole slew of excuses.
13 days pass. On July 14th, a new set of plumbers finally arrives to fix the source of the problem, a cracked drain pipe. To get at the pipe, workers have to break through concrete flooring as well as a wall between the kitchen and bathroom. They also pull up tile in the bathroom, remove the toilet, and disconnect and move the stove and refrigerator.
So it's 2 weeks without water. We haven't been able to cook. We've been spending a huge amount of money on eating out just because, you know, there's nothing else we can do. It's just been quite a headache, you know, plus we've got, you know, food spoiling here. We have a cat locked in a small bedroom that, you know, that's not very fair to the cat.
May and his roommate, Brittany Hart, are left to disinfect the areas that had been covered with sewage. Cockroaches and drain flies begin showing up in the apartment.
Me and my girlfriend on the 14th actually spent together probably 3 hours or so killing these drain flies that were spawning in the sewage and flying around the apartment by the hundreds. And by the hundreds is not an exaggeration. It was, I mean, yeah, we have a trash can full of paper towels from killing them.
I commiserated with him in his frustration.
That's Kyle McShane, the RCS management employee who oversees the Lakewood Terrace complex where May and Hart live.
One of the things that I said to him from the get-go was, I want your apartment fixed as much as you do. I don't want you living in any kind of conditions that you find unsanitary.
McShane blames the delay in getting the work completed on the initial plumbing company he called.
It's frustrating to me as well when I would like to get work done, and I have to continuously try and call different companies to try and just even start repairs in the first place.
McShane says he then worked as fast as he could to get approval from RCS's Chicago office for the second plumber's bid. May and Hart say it wasn't fast enough.
I developed a twitch in my eye because of the stress. I actually went to the doctor for it, and that's what they're telling me the cause probably is. I didn't know if I was having a heart attack or something or what.
We certainly got extremely ill about a week after this whole ordeal started. Just like the amount of stress, it's been really hard on us, you know. I've been just mentally drained.
As their ordeal dragged on, May and Hart say they spoke with the City of Bloomington's Housing Inspections Office.
I did speak with the tenant. He told me that, you know, the condition of that apartment.
Carrie Sneddon is Bloomington's manager for code enforcement.
We did not verify, you know, that particular situation because the sewage problem had been corrected by the time that we got there.
Sneddon's office is responsible for responding to tenants' complaints and inspecting Bloomington's more than 10,000 rental units. Is there some sort of a compliance issue then with that landlord? Is that landlord going to be cited for any type of violation?
Not at this point because they did get the situation corrected. I mean, and we were brought in the final day. Unfortunately, you know, we had to take it at that point in time. There was not a situation where we could go back on somebody and a he said, she said kind of thing.
But 13 days had passed.
In my opinion, yes, that is way too long. I mean, there's a lot of health concerns when you're dealing with sewage that's not properly capped or taken care of, you know, that kind of thing. You know, 13 days is definitely a long time frame, in my opinion.
May and Hart's case underscores the kinds of difficulties tenants can face. The city says there was little it could do for them because they did not contact inspectors as soon as the sewage problem arose. The case also shows how a dispute can quickly escalate. Before the sewage leak was fixed, an RCS maintenance employee engaged in a war of words with May on social media. The maintenance worker wrote to May on Facebook, quote, "What kind of bull are you pulling? This is not a one-hour job. It takes days. So to blow smoke up people's you-know-whats, saying nothing is happening, is very childish and disrespectful on your part." McShane, the property manager, says his employee was merely expressing frustration. By the time the Facebook exchange took place, he says RCS had offered to let May stay in another unit until the repairs could be completed.
So he had access to the apartment that was right next door to his for showers, for toilets, or anything along the lines of that.
May says he was shocked when he went to use the apartment that was offered.
It's filthy. It's infested with cockroaches. There's oil stains on what appears to be oil stains on the walls and the doors and the cabinets.
The day this GLT reporter visited the apartment, dead roaches littered the kitchen floor. A layer of mold covered the bathroom sink. McShane says May should have contacted him if he was dissatisfied.
If he would have let me know that there were any kind of adverse conditions in the apartment that he's staying in, I would have had my cleaners go over there, clean the apartment for him, at least clean the bathroom or get anything up. If he would have let me know about any kind of pests or anything like that in the apartment, I would have had Orkin over there generally the same day.
But by that time, May says he was too exhausted to deal with the management company. At that point, RCS offered to let May and Hart out of their lease. In the end, the company agreed to prorate the $585 monthly rent to compensate May and Hart for the days they could not use their apartment. May says he would have liked to move out altogether, but he was recently laid off from a job as a waiter. He says it will be difficult for him to put down another security deposit and 1 month's rent for a new place.
Because we are lower-income people living in lower-income housing, these property managers assume that everyone in that position doesn't have the resources to be able to stand up for themselves and advocate for themselves.
I just disagree strongly with the premise.
Bloomington's Community Development Director Tom Daybriner says tenants do have recourse.
We are interested in high-quality housing and achieving compliance as quickly as possible. I understand the frustration of a tenant who has a problem landlord. We're there to work with them.
In 2015, Bloomington hired an additional housing inspector. In the past year, the city's two inspectors performed about 2,400 inspections. More than half of those inspections required re-inspections, meaning officials found some type of housing code violations.
We are not interested in supporting landlords necessarily. We of course support the good ones. They never come up as a problem. But our interest is in a supply of quality housing.
Prairie State Legal Services, a legal aid agency, has compiled a renter's handbook. It covers such topics as getting repairs done, dispute and complaint procedures, what to do if a tenant receives an eviction notice, or if a landlord withholds a security deposit. Emily Petrie is an attorney at Prairie State. She says most landlords know their advantages under the law, but many tenants are unaware of their rights or even what's written into their leases.
They are not aware of what their legal rights and options are under their lease. Some tenants have not read their lease or understand fully the agreement they're entering into when they sign their lease.
May, who had the sewage problem, says he learned too late of his rights.
You know, there are tenant laws and things and, you know, basically a bill of rights for tenants that a lot of people aren't familiar with. They're ignorant to the fact that, you know, there are things that can be done about it.
He says he'll be more informed in the future. I'm Judy Valente.
Tomorrow, in Part 3 of Landlord v. Tenant, Judy Valenti examines how Bloomington and Normal try to correct housing code violations in rental properties, what are the common code violations, and asks whether the city is cracking down enough on landlords who are chronic offenders.